And I'm glad to see every one of you here. I want to share something from the Word of God. And before we do, let's bow and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you love everyone here, every man and woman, that you've got good things for them. You want them to prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. And Lord, we just thank you now as we read your Word, that you help us to understand it, to make it a part of our lives, to apply it. And Lord, we pray your peace and your joy and your love on everyone here. We thank you that you love them with a great love. You want them to be in heaven and you want them to have a good life here. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wanted to start out with a reading here from Luke chapter 4. And in Luke chapter 4, it's a real interesting story because it's the first one of the first sermons that Jesus preached. Jesus, his ministry has started. He was baptized by John the Baptist, and then when he was being baptized, the Holy Spirit was above him in the form of a dove, and then the Heavenly Father was up in heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And so after Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit was on him, and then Jesus went into the wilderness. And he fasted for 40 days, and he overcame the temptations of the enemy. And then it says here in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And then he came to Nazareth, his own hometown." And so he goes there into the synagogue, and back then they didn't have churches, they had synagogues for the Jews. And so he opens up the scriptures, and he's reading from the book of Isaiah. And I want to read these two verses here, Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, which really come from the book of Isaiah. And so Luke 4, 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And so Jesus, when he was here on earth, he was fully the Son of God, and he was fully the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus, when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he was reading from the book of Isaiah. He was really stating what was the case with him, that the Holy Spirit was on him, and the Holy Spirit was giving him power to preach the gospel to the poor. He said, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And that's a wonderful thing, that Jesus can heal our hurts, not only physically, but also in our hearts. So we don't have to walk around wounded all of our life. We can be healed through the Word of God and through the power of God and through prayer. And so it says to preach deliverance to the captives. And so God wants us to be free from sin. We don't have to be bound by sin because there's victory in Jesus. The Bible says greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So we can be set free from sin. And then it says, recovering of sight to the blind. And so we see Jesus, when he was here on earth, he healed people. He healed people that were blind. And there are still people being healed today in this present day and age through the name of Jesus. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know this one evangelist, and he actually goes over there to Africa and he holds crusades. And there, people don't have the luxury of hospitals or other things, and so they really have to call on the Lord and say, "God, help me." And so he tells some pretty amazing stories of people being healed. And so we know that Jesus heals still today. And so it says here in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "And recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And so God wants us to be free in our life. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he says, "If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And so we can be set free from any wrong habit. And then it says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And so God wants us to walk in liberty. The acceptable year of the Lord, way back then, the Jews, they had an arrangement that every 7 years, people had to release people from debts, and that the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, everybody had to be set free. So it would be interesting in this country if all the debts were canceled, but it looks like we have a lot of debt in this country. But it's real interesting, when Jesus was here preaching this sermon, he spoke a little further, and he was there in his own hometown, and by the time he got done preaching, instead of the people being happy, they were angry. And it's real interesting, and I want to talk a little bit, why did these people get angry? And so I'm going to skip down into verse 23. And he said unto them, you will surely say unto this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. In verse 24, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Verse 25, But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And verse 27, And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And verse 28, and this is real interesting, because instead of the people being happy at hearing this, they got angry. It says here, verse 28, And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him onto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. So the question is, why did these people get so angry? Here Jesus is reading from the book of Isaiah, and then he says, yes, there were many widows in Israel during their, and I want to read this story, and if we have time, we'll read the story about Naaman, but only one widow woman had her need met, and then only Naaman was the only leper healed, even though there were other lepers. And so, you know, you could almost bring that up to the modern day and say there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians even, who need something from God. They need healing. They need something from God. And they have the wrong impression that if I just sit here on my chair or my pew and just wait, God knows where I'm at. And if he wants to come and heal me, he can come and heal me. And in the meantime, I'm just going to sit here and wait. And that was sort of what these people in the Old Testament were doing. They had needs. I mean, there was a famine going on, and there was only one widow woman that was helped. And we'll have to read here. I want to read this story, why she was helped and why these other people didn't get help. And it relates back to believing the Word of God and acting on it. And so that's something that all of us can do, that we can say, God, I want to believe your word. I want to act on your word the best way I know how. And I sometimes say it's better to know a little bit of God's word and to act on it than to know a lot of God's word and disobey it. We want to be doers of God's word. We want to be obeying it the best way we know how. And of course, the first thing that we can do by obeying God's word is to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. So I'm going to turn here to 1 Kings chapter 17. And so there's these two stories that Jesus referred to. And the first one is here in 1 Kings chapter 17. And so this is Elijah. You know, last time I was here, we talked about the story about the widow woman. There was another widow woman. And there was actually two prophets, Elijah, who came first with a J, and then Elisha with an S. I remember that the S comes after J, so Elisha came after Elijah. And last time I was here, we talked about Elisha. There was a widow woman that owed a debt that she couldn't pay, and she came to Elisha and said, "What should I do?" And Elisha said to her, "What do you have in your house?" And she said, "Well, I got a pot of oil." And so he says to her, go and borrow vessels, not a few. So she and her two sons, they went and borrowed all the vessels they could. They brought them into her house. And then he said to her, well, start pouring out the oil. And I'm paraphrasing. You can read that story in, I think it's 2 Kings chapter 4. And so she poured out the oil, and she filled up all the pots that she had borrowed. And when she had them all filled up, the oil stopped. And then she went to the prophet and said, what should I do? And he said, well, go sell the oil. And she was able to pay off her debt and live off the rest. And so she got a miracle because she went to the prophet and said, and brought her need. And you know, that almost relates to us when it comes to prayer. You know, if you never ask, if you never bring a request to God, then how can you get an answer? Because you never even asked. But she brought her request to God, and we can bring our request to God. We can pray to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. And so here, getting back to 1 Kings 17, is this prophet Elijah. And so he had an unusual situation that he had prophesied to this king because there was so much evil going on in this country. He said, there's not going to be rain for 3.5 years. 3 years and 6 months. Now that's pretty serious.
Long time,
no rain, exactly. And so, but the interesting thing is, he sort of said there's no rain, and what's going to happen when there's no rain? Things are going to start drying up. And so he had been sent by God to go and live by a brook. And you can read this, I'm not going to read everything here in 1 Kings 17, but he was by this brook, and God was providing for him, and he was sending birds, ravens. They were bringing flesh and bread in the morning and at night. And so he was being fed 2 times a day, supernaturally. I mean, birds usually don't bring people food. It's the other way around. They're trying to take stuff. But they were bringing this food. So it was a miracle of supply right there. And he was drinking from this brook. But then, because there was no rain, the brook dried up. And so sometimes we may get into a situation like that. I sometimes say, you know, every once in a while people have to change jobs or change to a different place, and we have to really pray and say, God, show me what's going on. Is this my brook drying up? Is it time to move on? Or should I believe for this to start flowing again? And so God can resurrect jobs, and God can also move someone to a better job. And so I'm going to read here, starting here in 1 Kings, verse 17, and it says, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So that sounded like a good plan. I mean, you know, here the prophet, his brook was dried up, and God says, just go over here and see this lady, and she's going to take care of you. But there was a little problem, and we're going to read this little problem, but he had the answer for it. Because so he arose, verse 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So he said, he gets to the city, and he sees the lady that he's supposed to talk to, and he says to her, could you bring me a cup of water? That sounds like a pretty reasonable request. And so then we'll read a little further. He asked for something next. And verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. So he adds a request. Could you first give me a cup of water? And then he says, could you give me a little bit of bread? And so it's interesting now her response. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now this is a pretty sad situation. There's this woman, there's a famine in the land, there's no rain coming down, and so it's gotten so desperate that this woman, she thinks that all there is left to do, she has just enough flour, just enough oil, to make one last meal for her and her son. Now that is pretty sad. But as we read what Jesus said, that was happening to other people at the same time. But somehow this woman here believed in God, because you read this, verse 12, as she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth." When she saw this man of God, she recognized that he was a man of God. "As the Lord thy God liveth." And she said, "I don't have this, but except just this little bit left here, this little flour, this little bit of oil." And so verse 13, Elijah, so he's a prophet. So he's prophesying what could happen, what will happen if she'll do what he says God is telling her to do. And so verse 13, "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Verse 14, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." So now she had a choice. Just like, you know, last time I was here, we talked about the woman that she had, all she had in her house was that pot of oil. She had a choice to either say, "Well, why should I bother going get more, borrowing more? All I have is that one pot of oil." But that woman in that story believed the prophet and believed the word that came from God. And here this woman, she had a choice to either say, "Tough on you, prophet. I'm making my last meal for me and my son, and that's it. Bye-bye." Or she had a choice to say, "I am going to believe what this prophet says." And the prophet said, "If you will bring first me a meal and then make a meal for yourself, it's not going to fail. It's not going to run out." And so she had a choice, and she believed the prophet. And so she got her miracle, and so did the prophet. And so verse 15, "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days." And verse 16, "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." And so, you know, we're not here, when we have the service here, we're not taking any offerings, so you don't have to be worried about that. But the thing is, if you want to say the two lessons that we could learn, and there may be more that you can learn from this story, is one is we want to obey, hear God's word and obey it. And so if we read God's word, we want to obey God's word the best way we know how. And as I like to say to some people, or really it applies to all of us, God would never say anything in the Bible that wasn't for our good, that he was looking out for our good. When he says don't do something, it's for our good. When he says do something, it's for our good. And so we can read his word and we can apply it. And then we can also read about, and you can see this in the New Testament, there's a time to put God first. And again, I'm not taking an offering here, but if I was in a regular church, I'd be saying, you know, there's a time to put God first and to say, "God, I want to give you of my substance first. I want to trust you with my substance." And, you know, sometimes giving an offering is a step of faith, because you're saying, "God, when I give you my dollar or my $10 or my 10%, I am trusting you to make the rest go further." And as I heard someone say recently, "I would rather live a 90% with God's blessing than have 100% and not have his blessing." And that is the wonderful thing, that God will multiply what we have and he will increase it further and further. And you know, I was reading the other day from Psalm 37. There's a great promise in there. It says, David says, "I have been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread." And that's the wonderful thing, is that if we will trust God and put him first in every area of our life, God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And we can say, just like David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We can trust God to supply our needs. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And so I'm not saying that everybody's going to live in a big house or something, but we want to say, God, I trust you in every area of my life. I trust you with my finances. I trust you with my life. I want to listen to your word and I want to obey it. And I want to live for you. And so I'm going to speak real quickly here about this other little story about Naaman. And this is here in 2 Kings chapter 5. And this is the other story that Jesus mentioned in Luke chapter 4. And because first he said there were many widows and only this one widow got helped. And then he said there were many lepers that were in Israel and only Naaman got helped. And the interesting thing was, Naaman was not even an Israelite, but he got helped. And it's real interesting because he had actually captured somebody from the Israelites. He had captured a slave girl, and this girl knew enough about what God could do. And I sometimes have thought about this. If this little girl could know that God could heal this guy, who else knew about that, that God could heal? And she knew about this because when she heard that her master, this Naaman, who was a Syrian general, had leprosy, she said, well, you know, if he would go down to the prophet, he could get healed. And find this here. And she said, verse 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And so I'm not going to read this whole chapter, but I want to hit the high points, because so the king hears about this. And so the king, he like sends a letter with Naaman, and Naaman goes there with a lot of money, we'll put it short, gold and silver, and back then, changes of clothes. Maybe they had suits that fit everybody, one size fits all, but they were nice suits. And so he brings this gold and the silver and these 10 changes of clothes and sends a letter to the king and says, heal my servant, Naaman, the general. And the king thinks, I can't heal anybody. What is this other king trying to start an argument with me? And so he even rips his own clothes. And somehow, Elisha, this is now in 2 Kings, this is the other prophet, Elisha, he hears about this and he says, send him down over here to me and he'll find out that there's a prophet in the house, in the land. And so Naaman comes to Elisha's house, and he's expecting something. He's expecting the prophet to just come out and lay his hands on him and say, be healed, be healed. But that's not what happens. Instead, Naaman comes to this Elisha's house, and Elisha doesn't even answer the door. He sends his servant Gehazi out and says, I got a message for you. Go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. And Naaman, instead of being happy, he gets angry. And he says, you can read this yourself. I'm paraphrasing a little bit for the sake of time. But Naaman gets angry and he says, there's better rivers up there in Syria. If I want to go take a bath in a river, I can take it up there in Syria. And so he is about to leave angry. And he's about to drive off back to Syria, and he could have missed his blessing. He could have missed his miracle. But somehow he had a servant, someone who worked for him, comes to Naaman and says, Master, or Father, it's real interesting to read this. He said, if he had asked thee, I'll read this here, verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. So this person who worked for Naaman was very diplomatic. He says, Father, if he'd asked you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? So he says, how much now? If he's just saying, just go dip 7 times in the Jordan. And so what did Naaman do? He went and dipped himself. We'll read here verse 14. Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of this man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And so this guy Naaman, who was not even an Israelite, he got healed of his leprosy. Why? Because he went, he had a need. He didn't just sit on the bench and say, well, you know, if God wants to heal me of my leprosy, I'm up here in Syria. I'm an enemy of Israel. But if he wants to heal me, he wasn't thinking that way. He was saying, I'm going to somehow get this miracle. And so even though he made a few mistakes, I mean, he was almost going to storm off angry. But the end result was, though he did what the prophet said, go dip seven times in the Jordan. And obviously, I mean, we have the Jordan River over there, and people are not jumping in the Jordan River and being healed of leprosy or so on. But at that moment of time, that was the word of God, what to do. And the wonderful thing is, in the meantime, we all have the Bible here that we can read and we can obey it. And so, you know, when it comes to faith, to believing God, it's not imagining something and saying, well, I'm going to imagine something, then go do it. No, I would say faith is taking what God has clearly said. If He has clearly said something, then let's do it. Let's obey it. And so I want to encourage you with that, that those two things, that we want to be people of faith, that we want to grow in faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the other thing is, I want to encourage you, if you weren't convinced already, that God is a good God. He's a good God. He was healing people back in the Old Testament. He healed this guy who wasn't even in Israelite. He was not even a church member. But this guy Naaman, he heard he could be healed, and somehow he went to this prophet and said, I want to get healed. He got that point across, and the prophet responded by saying, here, go do this, and if you'll do it, you'll be healed. And so that's the same way today. We want to be people of faith. We want to believe God's word, and we want to bring our requests to God. If we have a need, and you know, I sometimes, I'm going to read a few more verses here from another place, and then we'll close. I don't want to be too long here, but you know, if we know what God has promised, what our benefits are, then we can turn to Him and say, God, I know You have promised this, and I want to believe You for it. So I'm going to read here Psalm 103, just a few verses about the benefits. It says, bless the Lord, Psalm 103, verse 2 through 5. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And so it lists five benefits there, but what's benefit number two? Who healeth all thy diseases. And so if you need to be healed, you can say that's in the benefit plan. Jesus, when He went on the cross, He not only paid for our sins with His own blood, it says by His stripes we are healed. And we can receive that healing by calling on the name of Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to believe God, believe His word, and call on the name of Jesus. And so we're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to sing a few more songs. But if you have a prayer request, we've got the people here from Gateway Church, and we would be happy to pray with you if you have a prayer request, if you have a need. And the Bible says that whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, we can receive it. And so let's bow in prayer here. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You that You love everyone here, that You've got good things for them. You want them to prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. Lord, I thank You, Jesus, that You paid for our salvation on the cross, but that by Your blood we have remission of sins. We have forgiveness of sins. And Lord, we thank You that it says by Your stripes we are healed. And so, Lord, we just thank You, Lord Jesus, that You said that You have come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Lord, we thank you that you said that whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So, Lord, we just thank you for your many promises, and we want to believe you just as these people did in the Old Testament, as the people did in the New Testament. We want to trust you and believe you with every part of our life, every part of our being. And so, Lord, now we pray your peace and your joy and your love upon each man and woman here, that you've got good things for them. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you bless their day, that you give them great joy unspeakable. You give them the peace of God that passes understanding. Lord, we thank you that you give us love for people around us. Lord, we thank you that you give us a desire to read your word, and you give us the ability to understand it and to make it a part of our lives. Lord, we thank you that you give us a desire to pray and to seek you and put you first in every area of our life. We thank you that you love us with a great love, and that you've got things, good things for each person.